Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, September 9th. How much do you know about the ways of God? If you could use a refresher, then stay with us for the opening session of this series.
Well, the title of this message is The Best Way, and I want you to turn, if you will, to the 25th Psalm. And I want us to read just a few verses to begin, and then I want to encourage you to be careful to take good notes, because this is just the first message. So the 25th Psalm in the first verse begins, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed." Verse 4, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." Listen to that. "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." Now, the first thing I want to do is I want to distinguish between the ways of God and the acts of God. So I want you to turn, if you will, to the 103rd Psalm, the 7th verse. And here's what it says. God made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. What is the difference in the ways of God and the acts of God? Here's the difference. The acts of God, for example, are those things that God does in your life and my life. His ways is something different. The acts of God, he said, for example, the nation of Israel, he showed them his acts. That is, they could see his deeds. They understood the deeds of God. But what they did not know, certainly, it was the ways of God, or they would not have acted the way they acted. But he says he wants us to know his ways. Now, what are the ways of God? The ways of God not only include his actions and his deeds, but they also include how God thinks, what motivates him, why does he do certain things he does, why does he act a certain way, what causes him to withhold answers to prayer, why does he bless this one in a way that we do not understand, and why do we see such consequences in some people's lives? That is, what does he think? What are his motives? How does he think? What's his purpose? What's his plans? That is, when you and I begin to understand the ways of God, we begin to be able to have an intimate relationship with him. So I want you to remember this. His actions are one thing, but his ways go deeper than that. We see his actions, but then we begin to understand the why and the reason and the purpose and the plan and why he allows certain things to happen. So let's think about for a moment the whole idea of why you and I need to know the ways of God. First of all, simply this. It's really essential to knowing him. You will never know him until you know his ways. And if you look in the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus, and I want you to notice a verse here, because all through the Old Testament, you're going to find this phrase that God is using as he speaks to his sons and daughters and as he begins to work in their life. And here's what happens. You and I begin to see what he's saying. The 13th verse says, "Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways." Now watch this, because he tells us why. "Let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." He says, "Let me know your ways that I may know you." Now watch two things about that. He's requesting the Father, requesting God, listen to this, let him know his ways, which indicates unless he reveals his ways, you and I will never be able to understand them. And so if you notice his reasoning, he says, "Let me know your ways that I may do what? That I may walk in them." So the question is, what's God up to? God is up to teaching you and me his ways. Now, most people are not interested in his ways. Most people are interested in what God does, and especially they're interested in what God does for me and for my sons and my daughters and my children and my loved ones. And it's me, 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 me. I'm interested in what God does. He answers this prayer. He heals this person. He prevents this. He protects that. But not too many of us, it seems, are interested in his ways. Why? What is he up to? How does he think? And so it's very evident that we are to learn the ways of God. That's his will and purpose and plan for life, because he wants a deeper, more intimate relationship. And when you ask the world to tell you about God, if you'll think about what they would say, it's a very frivolous kind of attitude. Well, I believe there is a God. I believe in one God, but my God may not be like your God. And on and on and on they go. They don't know the true God. And you see, God's not going to force His knowledge upon us. He's not going to force His will upon us. And so therefore, for me to understand, if you to understand the ways of God, then I must want to know His ways, I must seek His ways, and I must have a purpose for it. And the second reason is this, and that is He requires it. That is, God requires that you and I know His ways. So go back, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 10 for a moment. And there are several verses here in Deuteronomy. Look, if you will, in verse 12 of this 10th chapter, and notice what he says now. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul? What does He require? He requires that you and I walk in His ways, which simply means if He requires that you and I walk in His ways, that gives me a hint. And that is, if He requires it, then He's willing to help me understand His ways, to be able to understand them, to be able to walk in them. That is, He requires it. He desires this relationship with Him that isn't just a surface relationship, but it's a deep, abiding relationship whereby, listen, the more we understand His ways, the more we're going to love Him, the more we desire to obey Him. And what happens? All of a sudden, something happens in our life when we begin to say, what are the ways of God? How can I walk in these ways? And He said, let me know your ways. That is, if I'm going to understand the ways of God, He must be willing to let me know what they are. Somebody says, well, the reason I don't know the ways of God is because I just don't know the Bible, and I don't have time for all that. That Bible is so big and so thick. How am I going to know the ways of God? Well, like you and I learn everything else. The way you and I learn the ways of God is one way at a time. And God is so willing to show us His ways. He requires it. A third reason we ought to learn His ways, because, listen, it's the deep yearning of the heart of God. He desires that you know His ways and that we understand them. Now, turn to the 81st Psalm, if you want to, if you will. And I want you to notice something that is so significant in this 81st Psalm. God here, speaking through His servant, is speaking of the nation of Israel and how rebellious they've been and obnoxious and disobedient and the price that they paid for it all. Then if you look, if you will, in the 10th verse, and here's what he says. He says, I, the Lord, am your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Then he says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it, which was his way of saying, trust me. And the more you're willing to trust me for, the more I'm willing to do for you. And you've seen the little bird in the nest, and here comes mother flying with a worm, and that little bird is going to open his mouth just as wide as possible to get all he can get. God says to you and me, open your mouth wide, that is, expand your faith. Trust me in a big way. Watch what I do in your life. So he says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over. Listen. I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk in their own devices, of their own ways. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. And I wonder if that isn't what God may be saying to you. Oh, that you would walk in my ways. If you just knew what I had planned for you. If you just knew that the best lies ahead of you. If you just knew. Walking outside of my ways is going to be very expensive in your life. If you just knew that my way is better than your way, if you just knew that I always planned the best for you, if you just knew that I have planned, I have purposed, I have the resources, all that your heart desires, I have it. But you have purpose not to do it. And you see, the truth is all rebellion is our deliberate choosing to walk not in the will of God, but out of the will of God. Not in His ways, but our ways. He wants us to walk in His way because He loves us. He desires the best for us. What is God saying to you? If you would just open your mouth wide and let me fill it. If you would just choose to walk in my ways. You see, you may have lots of wealth, lots of prosperity in lots of ways. You've got everything in the world you could possibly want. There's not anything you can't buy, no place you can't go. In fact, you've had it your way and everything looks very good. But when you lie down at night and look up in the night, in the darkness, the truth is, you know that you may have had it your way, but deep down inside you know that there's something missing. You don't have any real peace. There's no real joy. There's no contentment in life. There's no sense of real, genuine security. You're worried about the future, popular and prestigious now. But you know that one of these days your look's not going to be there. One of these days all your wealth is not going to be there. One of these days your health's not going to be there. Then what? What do you have? You have no security, no peace, no joy, no contentment. And the truth is, you have chosen to have it your way. When God offers, listen, He offers us His way. He says, I want you to walk in my way. Because He says what? My way is the best way. And that's what I want you to note. One of the reasons is because it's the best way. Is it the best way sometime? It's the best way all the time. You say, well, what about when I'm suffering? It's still the best way. Why? He's got something in mind. Is it the best way when I have needs and God doesn't seem to be meeting my needs? Is that the best way? Yes, because He's got something in mind. Whatever you may mention, I can tell you this. No matter what you may be facing, if you choose to walk in His way oftentimes can be painful. His way oftentimes can be disturbing. His way oftentimes can be beyond our comprehension, and we don't like it. But is it the best way? It's the best way. Because that's who He is. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it and how we need it. And so when you think about the fact that we say it's the best way, look, if you will, in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy for a moment. And notice what He says. His way is always the best way. Verse 4. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. The rock. That's who He is. The rock. His work is what? Perfect. For all His ways are what? Just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. What is He saying? You can always rest in the fact that His way is the best way. His ways are righteous. He does us no harm. That is, He's going to do the right thing every time. He's not an unjust God. Sometimes we may think what He allows in our life seems to be unjust toward us. But His ways are righteous and just. His ways are the ways of love and goodness and kindness and mercy. Difficulty, hardship, and pain and trouble, yes. His ways are the best way. Why? Because He's an all-wise God. Listen, if His goal is an intimate relationship, learning to walk in His ways, then what is He going to do? He's going to plan and purpose for us in our life whatever is necessary to teach us to walk in His ways. And sometime when a person has been rebellious a very, very long time, God has to put the torch to them. He has to get at the pruning knife. And God has to work on us a little bit, and sometimes very intensely. And yet people, even when God is working on them with difficulty, hardship, and pain in order to get their attention, to show them there is a better way, they rebel. And rebel and rebel. They don't want God in their life. Why? Because somehow Satan may have deceived you to thinking your way is the best way. Have you tried God's way? Have you asked Him, Lord, what's your purpose? What's your plan? What's your idea about my life? And you see, the truth is, He wants to reveal it. He wants to show us His way. If He didn't, He would not say that God has commanded us to walk in His ways. And so, when I think about all the different reasons, one of those reasons is this. And if you'll think about it, and the world would never agree to this, walking in His ways, that's the pathway to success. He says, now, wait a minute. I know a lot of people in this world who are very successful who are not Christian. No, you may know a lot of people in this world who are very wealthy, prestigious, power, influence, you name it. But until they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, until they have learned to walk in His ways, you cannot say they're a success. Success is discovering the will of God and walking obediently in His will. That's what success is all about. You see, that's why some people who will never get their name in the newspaper, on television or radio, are very successful. They're not wealthy. A lot of folks don't know them. There's nothing prestigious about them. They don't even dress the finest in the world. They don't drive the finest. They don't live in the biggest house. But they're very successful. You know why? because they have learned to walk in the ways of God. Living godly, walking in the ways of God. That's what success is all about, because in the process of doing so, God has all kinds of ways of blessing us if we will just listen to Him and walk in His ways. And so He says, the Bible says, He commands us to walk in His ways. He's willing for us to. Now you're saying, well, but now how can I know His ways? I'm coming to that. What I want you to see here is that if He did not intend for us to walk in His ways, He would never have said, this is what it means to walk in My ways, and I want you to walk in them. So let's think about when you walk in His ways, what does that mean, for example? Well, think about it this way. It's the best way. God's way for your life and mine is the best way. It's the wisest way to live your life in this intimate relationship with Him. It is a way that builds our faith. Here's what happens. When you and I begin to walk in His ways and walk in obedience to Him, here's what happens. We obey Him and watch and observe the consequences. We obey Him and observe the consequences. We choose to disobey Him and observe the consequences. Oops, let's get back into His path, because when you and I are being observant of our own life, we recognize if you're going to have any peace, joy, contentment in your life and security, you have to walk in the ways of God, because you can't improve on His way. His way is the most rewarding way. Now, is it the easiest way? Not necessarily. And as we come to way after way after way and look at these biblical characters, some of them had a very difficult time. For example, it's a way that demonstrates His awesome power. When you and I are walking in the ways of God, what is He doing? He demonstrates His power in your life and my life, sometime by what He provides, sometime by His healing, sometimes in the way He promotes you in a given situation because you are walking in His ways. It's an expression of His love. His ways are always holy ways. His ways are always right, no matter what happens in a person's life. Now, His ways also sometimes are very surprising. God has ways of surprising us. Sometimes they're very distracting, and sometimes they're very demanding, and sometimes we wish we didn't have to walk that way. But you see, God's way is always the best, because what is He doing? Here's what He's doing. He's bringing us into an intimate relationship with Him. Most people, if you said, well, where's God? What are they going to do? They're going to say, well, He's up yonder somewhere, out yonder, whatever it may be. Because that's their comprehension of where God is and who He is. He's this sort of unknowable, invisible, all-powerful force out there in the world, and that's who God is. That's not who He is. Why did God the Father send Jesus Christ into this world? In order that you and I would be able to understand more clearly who God is. And so if you want to know the ways of God, for example, look at Jesus. What did He do? He would forgive the most unlikely people. And what would He do? Forgive them and say, go and sin no more. He would forgive a man who humanly was responsible for him being crucified. And what kind of man was that Jesus, and the fact that He would say to those who crucified Him, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Who is this all-important man who would say to His disciples, move aside, send the children to Me? Who is this man who would meet a woman at the well and lovingly approach her, instead of saying, you are living in adultery, He would simply say, go find your husband. Jesus had this character about Him, the way He treated people, the way He responded, the way He taught. He didn't come just to live His life. He came to live and to die. But what was He like? It's very evident when you read the Gospels who He was and what He was like. God wants you and me to understand who He is, what He's really like. And to understand Him, we must know His ways.
Thank you for listening to The Best Way. And if you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.